Congregation, turning your prayerful attention to the Word of God this evening, to the Old Testament, to 1 Samuel chapter 21, reading from verse 10 to chapter 22 and the verse 2. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 10 to chapter 22 and the verse 2. This is God's holy word. Come, let us hear the word of Almighty God. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord be pleased to grant his blessing upon that public reading, and then may the Lord be pleased to attend and grant the gracious enabling of the ministry of his word to the glory of his name and to the profit of our never-dying souls. Congregation, turning your prayerful attention once again to those words which I read to you in your hearing from the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 21, reading from the verse 10 through to the chapter 22 and the verse 2. May the Lord be pleased to grant his gracious enabling to minister tonight, to preach to the glory of God's name and to the profit of our souls. I take for my text the words found in the verse 2 of the chapter 22. But I read from the verse 1, David therefore departed thence, and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And as we come into the chapter 22 of this Word of God in the book of Samuel, we go in our mind's eye to the setting of these words which we have read, and we consider what is happening in the life of David, a man after God's own heart. What is happening? Well, David is fleeing wicked King Saul. He is being hunted and hounded by him as a partridge in a mountain. He is trying to escape the wicked clutches of this murderous king who wants to put David to death. David is the anointed of the Lord. He is the chosen of the Lord. Of course, the people chose Saul. But, of course, in the providence of God, he has allowed for that. And David would be shown in time to be the great king. And, of course, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, David's greater son. David is a wonderful type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, granted, there are times in the life of dear David where he does things that are not pleasing at all. We have seen in the previous chapter how he behaved like a madman, fearing these people, the king of Achish, fearing being captured. And the Word of God never allows us, dear friends, to sin with impunity, with license, should I say. Many times, David did things that are totally unacceptable. But there are times where it is very evident from the scriptures that David serves as a type of the Lord Jesus. Now, during this time, he is fleeing, hiding in caves, running away from the great enemy. Many of God's people were hounded. They lived in caves. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 38, you'll note there how many times God's people had to hide in caves. And here David is found hiding in a cave not far outside of Jerusalem, not far away from Bethlehem. And we read in Hebrews 11:38 of these people of God, all who, of course, died in faith. We read of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Now we know that Obadiah himself was such a man. Obadiah at one time hid over 100 prophets from evil men. But certainly here David would be numbered amongst those listed here in Hebrews 11, verse 38. Certainly David and these men would be those identified here. Now, of course, as I mentioned, David has become the enemy of wicked King Saul. David was good friends with his son Jonathan. He was indeed a close brother to him. They shared the same love, the love of the Lord together. And Jonathan knew that he was the anointed to be the anointed king. And Saul knew this too as well. And David had proved time and time again that he was indeed favored by the Lord, greatly favored by the Lord. Remember how he was chosen at a very young age and he was given great physical skill. Remember how he was able to kill a bear, to kill a lion, and to protect himself. First and foremost, he was a shepherd boy. He cared for the sheep and he loved people. And it's clear from this passage that David loved the people. A wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus. But the Lord had given him great skill as well in battle so that he was able to protect himself. But furthermore than that, the Lord provided for him an extraordinary protection from the wicked enemy, King Saul. He was a man indeed destined by God to be the king, as the Lord Jesus is destined and has been from all eternity to be the king of his people. And as I said, there are times, sadly, as we look at David's life, times that are not commendable. Like that time when he committed that awful sin with Bathsheba. And this time that we've seen here, where he behaves like a madman. Why? Because he was afraid. But again, a lie is a lie. And it's never acceptable to lie. But there are times when there is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ set forth in various scenes of David's life. Remember the time when David wanted to show mercy to the house of Saul for the sake of Jonathan. We read in 2 Samuel 9 and the verse 1, "And David said, is there any yet that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And it's the same with the Lord Jesus Christ and us. God shows us kindness because of his covenant with his Son, the Lord Jesus. The Father has made a covenant with the Son to have mercy on people in this world. And the Lord Jesus is our Savior. We deserve wrath. We deserve to be destroyed. Kings would destroy the families of those who they've overthrown. David would have destroyed the family of Saul. But mercy shown to Mephibosheth so that he was able to eat at the king's table all the days of his life. And this is how it is for us as God's people in the Lord Jesus. What are we? We're beggars. We're sinners. We're enemies by nature. But God has mercy and kindness toward us in the Lord Jesus. Covenant mercy. Now, in this next chapter where we want to consider the Word of God here and David, what he's doing, and David serving as a type of the Lord Jesus, we see David in this next scene in chapter 22. He's hiding. He goes to hide in a cave. We read in the verse 1, "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him." And as a result, we know, as we read in the next verse, all of those that came to see David were mightily blessed. Mightily blessed. They wanted to be with the just and the rightful king. You see, Saul was not the rightful king, but David was the rightful king. And how much more in the Lord Jesus, in this life, those who come to him, how they are mightily and wonderfully blessed, those who come to the Lord Jesus. They know blessings that the world does not know. They come to the Lord Jesus, who was despised and rejected of men, as David was, rejected of Saul and the people. Certainly Saul's men, and Saul, either Satan or this world that is under the power, under the influence of Satan. Well, the Lord Jesus, in the same way, was he not rejected by the mass of the world? When he came into the world would not come to the light, not even his own people. He was despised and rejected of men. He was an outcast among men, an outcast of society. Who is this that sits with sinners? Who is this? But think of all the blessings that flow to us in Christ. As the people came here to David, his kinsmen, his family, and others that were downcast, in debt, think of all the blessings that came. And David, furthermore, in that cave of Adullam, as I want to look at this evening, what we have set before us, there is so much gospel light in just these few verses in the chapter 22. There's a lot of gospel light and gospel application that we can make concerning our souls, especially tonight. If you know the Lord, you will be able to identify with the things, God willing, that I trust the Lord will help me to say. But I pray those of you who know nothing of this, the Lord might be pleased to show you the greatness of the Lord Jesus and how he serves as really a fulfillment of these things in a far greater way that the people experienced as they came to David. Well, verse 1, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Well, the Lord Jesus, you know, is described as the captain of our salvation, just as David was the captain over these men and over these people. Now, let's just consider, first of all, the place. This cave called Adullam, it's called the Cave of Adullam. It was the name of a city, an old city. It's first mentioned in Joshua 12 in the verse 5. The king of Libna won the king of Adullam, a place, the king of Adullam, the days of Joshua, just southwest of Jerusalem, it was believed to be situated. Now let's just again consider this word Adullam. It's a very important word. It's a very complex word because the Hebrew scholars will tell us that it's formed by a combination of three Hebrew words. And the first is this, made right. That's the first part of the word. It's made up, as I say, of a combination. The second is, and so to rest, made right and so to rest. But not only that, within that word, and many of the Hebrew words are like that, there is a noun which means people. So what you have is this, a people made right and to rest in that name. And that is exactly what we have when these people come to David. They made right. They're in debt. They're in trouble. They're downcast, a people. But they made to rest. They find peace, and they find peace with David, contentment. There they are in the middle of the wilderness, in a cave, in this big rock, sheltered. And we sang, didn't we, in our hymn tonight, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. The Lord Jesus is described so many times in the Word of God as the great rock, Isaiah 32, a rock in a weary land who gives us shelter who gives us all things. And my dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is exactly that. We see not only in David a type, but we see as this rock and this cleft of the rock. Remember, now Moses wanted to see the glory of God, and he couldn't see that. But God said to him to hide in the cleft of the rock, and that he would see his backward parts. And the Lord Jesus is exactly that shelter, that cleft of the rock. We shall see God because of the Lord Jesus, because we can take refuge, because we can hide in him, because he is the shelter for sinners. He bears the wrath on behalf of God's people so that they shall see God forever. So the Lord Jesus is typified here in a wonderful way. It's not hard to see the gospel parallels with regards to those who come to Christ and those as they did, as they came to David. And here what we see is a gathering unto David, a gathering of people coming unto David. And was this not a gospel promise that we read of in the book of Genesis, that unto him shall the gathering be? Remember the promise, a scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. And the Lord Jesus is Shiloh. And a gathering shall be unto him. And as they came to this great rock, a people made right and who rest. That's what the word that we made right and we made to rest in the rock of ages. Oh, save to the rock that is higher than I. My soul in its conflicts and sorrow should fly. They come here for refuge. And the apostle tells us in Hebrews that those who have come to Christ have fled to him for refuge. And that's the great question tonight. Have you fled to Christ for refuge? Do you know anything of this refuge? Well, he comes and he receives those who are in debt. Debt to God. That's the debt we have. Miserable, see them. They're coming full of misery. Christ is our refuge. David certainly himself, as he goes into this cave of Adullam, he's in imminent danger himself. Now, we must not glorify David. David, the types, of course, they fade. They just meant to serve as a picture. But David himself has to take refuge. And David himself had to trust in the Lord Jesus, looking to that promise that God would set upon his throne an everlasting king. The salvation of Israel and God's people is not dependent upon David, but upon this great rock. And David himself had to go into the cave of Adullam. Pictures Christ. See the enemy. See Saul coming, pursuing the footsteps of David. Notice David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And we read, and when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. So his family, it's interesting here, David's, his friends, but also his family, his father's house, fled. Saul on the rampage, wanting to kill. And so it is, Satan, he desires to capture people and to keep us away from God. But God's people, they run to Christ. And notice here, there's also total strangers that come. Verse 2, and everyone that was in distress, not only David's family, but everyone that was in debt. People couldn't pay their debts. I don't know what the problem is here, but perhaps Saul is making very unreasonable requests. Certainly not a very compassionate man. Debts. But here we think of a greater debt, don't we? The debt we owe to God. We come into this world and we don't give God the glory that's due to his name. We don't honor God with our lives. Remember how the Lord Jesus Christ, he taught us how to pray. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive others. It's the debt of sin, friends. And do you realize that tonight, as you come here tonight, we all have a great debt of sin. And only the Lord Jesus Christ is able to meet that debt. He did so on the cross for all that come to him. And those who are Christ's will find relief of the debt of sin because he paid that for them. And everyone, notice also, that was discontented, they gathered themselves unto him. And the Lord Jesus, he satisfies the longing soul. This life is marred with our past. And we not only have a bad record, friends, but we have a bad heart. And who alone can deliver us from our bad hearts but He who gives us a new heart? You know, we'll carry on being discontented without Christ in this world. We'll carry on living a miserable life. There's none but Christ that can satisfy. No other name for me. There's life, peace, and lasting joy with the Lord Jesus. Friend, do you know something of that? Contentment with the Lord. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, Paul tells us, and it's sure that we can take nothing out of it. Oh, you carry on, you carry on. You amass riches and wealth. Never bring you contentment in this life. These people came discontented. And look at it. There they cut 400 men in this cave. 400! Content in a cave! Yes, God's people are content wherever Christ is, friends. Don't you want that? We're content to live in a hole if Christ would have us live there, so long as we have Him. We're content with Him wherever He sends us. I think I said to somebody today, home for me is wherever the Lord places me. That's it. I thank the Lord He makes choices for me. When we become a Christian, we stop making such choices. He makes them for us because He makes the best choices. See them, 400 of them. It's amazing, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever been camping. Some people find it a very difficult thing, uncomfortable living out in the open or perhaps living in a cave. Rather stay somewhere else. You see, this is about contentment of soul, isn't it? It's about peace with God. Do you have that? Do you know something of that? And again, this rock here stands as a type of the Lord Jesus. Remember Moses, as he smote that rock there in Horeb, and how the water flowed out and filled the mouths of all the people. Christ, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, is that rock that followed them. That smitten rock could only be struck once, and Christ was struck once for His people. And you know, He says, He that believeth in me, out of his belly shall flow living waters. If we are Christ's, He not only satisfies us, but we become a blessing to others, as David was a blessing. David, the sweet psalmist, he knew this rock. He knew the one of this rock. He said in Psalm 18, the verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. David knew peace and contentment. He wasn't in the palace. He was in the cave, and yet he had peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Well, friend, do you realize the Lord Jesus is the great rock that souls need? There is that passage I referred to earlier in Isaiah 32, verse 1, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. That is who our Lord is. David here is serving as a type as he comforts those. But of course, the great shelter, the rock that is higher than him. So men took refuge in that rock, and so people take refuge, dear friend, in Christ. Many are resting in Christ tonight. Are you resting in Christ? Well, those that have come to Christ by grace, they have found him to be the best of friends. As people flock to this rock, the weary, the downcast, those in debt, found David to be a great friend. But how much better is he whom David's son Solomon spoke of? There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Our blessed Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus. So we've seen the cave picturing Christ, but here the person, David, a picture of Christ and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. Well, this is an interesting thing. And he became a captain over them. They would have him to rule over them. The world says this of Christ: who is this man that he should rule over us? We will not have this man to rule over us. But you see, these people were very happy to have David rule over them. Why? Because he was a man after God's own heart. Do you remember when he was called? The Lord said, I have one after my heart. The Lord said, I have a man after my own heart. And again, here is David, who has a gathering here to himself. We read how they gathered unto him, 400 men. I mentioned Genesis 49 earlier in the verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Well, David here, from Judah, and one from his line would come, which Genesis 49:10 speaks about, the Lord Jesus. The one who was despised, the one who was rejected, would have a gathering. How small and insignificant the church seems to be. And you think here, 400 people from an entire nation. That's not a lot, is it, really? I mean, it is a lot of people in the cave, we've got to admit. But in comparison to the nation, it's not a lot. And so it is in this world. By and large, the numbers that take refuge in Christ are very few. But they do take refuge in him. And they have great comfort in him. Those who forsake this ungodly world find in Christ happiness and joy. Now, who were these people that came to David? Well, his kinsmen. And the outcasts of society. Those who were distressed. Ordinary people, not many noble, not many wise, they came to him, the common people. We know this of the Lord Jesus in Mark 12, in the verse 35, and Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son? And you notice there, and the common people heard him gladly. The common people. And that's who came to David, the ordinary. Not the big intellects and the movers and the shakers of society. Not the noble, not the wise. But the humble. The common people, just as David. Just in the same case of the Lord Jesus. And it's interesting in that passage how much is condensed with regards to our blessed Savior, the Son of David. And the Lord Jesus Christ is making very clear. He said, the Lord said to my Lord. He's speaking about himself. David was prophesying about his greater Son, who would be God come manifest in the flesh. It's a staggering thing, isn't it, that the Lord of glory should come into this world, but not many people should gather around him. Very few. Friends, let us take note of this. When the Lord Jesus Christ finished his earthly ministry here, there were only 120 gathering in that upper room. Sure, yes, it wasn't long after that thousands were converted, but not many. By and large, not many were there in the gathering. Let us not judge God by how many people, or the truth by how many people follow it. How do you judge Christianity? You say, well, it's a feeble thing. Friends, we're told it will be, because by nature, people do not gather to God. People are spending their time running away from God. Despite this wicked world that does not please anybody, that doesn't bring contentment, this world that is empty, this vain world, this passing world, this godless age, the society of corruption and dishonesty. You know, people only want God when they've got a problem. But they don't look for pardon with God. They don't look to be happy in God. They just want God to fix certain problems and they get back on with their lives. But here, they gather. And God's people are like that. They'll hear the word of God and they'll continue to gather. And they'll continue to gather with God's people because they found in God's Son everything. They love to gather together. They have Him in common. Friend, what distress are you in life today? Or you say, well, I'm in debt. Well, there's a far greater problem than financial debt, friends. The great debt is the debt of your soul. The great problem is not only a bad record, but there's a bad heart. It's not a heart longing for God. And only God can change that. Pray to Him that you might have a desire to draw after Him. The Lord says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and are heavy laden. We're not talking about being heavy laden in terms of, well, we're just tired from work every day. We're not talking about that. We're talking about souls that are burdened over their sins. Souls that are discontented with themselves, let alone the world. One of the things you discover when the Lord opens your eyes and He brings conviction of sin, the first thing you begin to discover, well, you discover the wretchedness of your own soul. And you start to do things and you see in your life, well, I'm a horrible person. I'm an unkind person. I'm not a good person after all. I'm not good. And then you start to see it in others too. You not only see your own sin, but you start to see sin in the world. You're discontented. See these people gathering together, discontented with themselves, downcast from the world. Well, the trouble is everybody in this world, they're happy with themselves in one sense. They're happy, but they're not happy. It's an oxymoron, really. You can see how miserable people are. If people were so happy in this world, why are there so many divorces? Why is there so much adultery? Why are people in debt financially? Up to the hilt in credit cards? Why? Because of idolatry. Because the world doesn't give all it promises to give. Because the world's an empty world. Why are there so many murders? Because people really don't prove to be friends, do they? They talk behind your back. But Christians aren't that way. You can trust Christians. They're different. They know the Lord. And they're being conformed more and more like Him. Well, David came to be captain over them. Well, the Lord is the captain of His people. And He gives them godliness. And He gives them contentment. Think of their circumstances where they're living. The world will say, look at you Christians. You're happy to live in these poor homes. Oh, you don't have much of a life. You don't go to Spain every year on holiday. You don't travel here. You don't travel there. You don't go to the nightclubs. Oh, no, we don't need those things. We've got God. We've got the Lord Jesus as a friend. We've got God's people. What more can we want? We have assurance. We know we have everlasting life. We have everything. Remember when Esau came to Jacob with his 400 men? Jacob says, I have all things. All things. The Christian can say that. I have all things. I have forgiveness of sins. I have everything. God will supply all my needs. Well, there's a lovely hymn by John Berridge. It's in Gatsby's Hymns. It's concerning this passage. All in debt or in distress, discontented more or less, all who would protection have, post away to David's cave. All who find their sinful debt deep and deeper growing yet, all who have been Satan's tool, much his madman or his fool, all who discontented are, full of guilt and full of fear, every soul who would not die unto Jesus' cave must fly. Jesus, all your debts will pay, chase your legal duns away, every foe He will subdue, world and flesh and devil too. Haste and seek the Savior's face, rise and bless Him, for for his grace to his scorned cave repair. He will wash and feast you there. Oh, friend, do you know something of the shelter and the friendship of the Lord Jesus? Do you know something of that tonight? Well, I tell you, it's a blessing to know it. But it's important that we know it, because there in Isaiah 32, we read that this Lord Jesus, who is that rock, the rock of ages, the one who we hide in, he is going to be the shelter in that awful tempest of God's judgment day. And if you know nothing of him now, don't expect to know anything of him as your shelter and your Savior on that great day. I say, if you know nothing of Christ now, you know nothing of his mercy then. This is why the Word of God tells us to seek him while he may be found, to turn away from this world and to find in Christ your all in all. Another lovely hymn, by William Gadsby. When Jesse's young son was honored of God, the stripling began to publish abroad the love of Jehovah, his strength and his might, which brought down Goliath in Israel's sight. What joy in the land at once did appear. Hosanna was sung to David, we hear. But soon he was forced into Adullam's cave, and thousands pursued his life to bereave. To Adullam's cave the wretched all run, which David must have their captain become. And thus he is furnished with men, to be sure, but oh, be astonished, they're helpless and poor. In David I see a greater by far. 'Tis Jesus, 'tis he who saves from despair. No sinner dejected that flees to the Lamb shall e'er be neglected, for David's his name. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Remember those cries of the two blind men. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Have you ever cried that? Have you ever sought him? Oh, may God encourage your soul to seek him now and to find him to be your all in all. He is a suitable Savior. He receives sinners, those who are downcast, their sin, unhappy, not only in life, but with themselves and the world and everything. Friends, we live in a fallen world. Jesus, the Son of David, has come to save us, not only from this world, but to take us to the next world, the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. I can imagine in this cave there was a great deal of mourning. We read of the different people that came, the distressed, the downcast, the mourning. As they came in, mourning. But it wasn't long after they talked to David. They found in him wonderful comfort, peace, rest for their souls. Think of the name of this cave, Adullam. A people made right and to rest. That's God's people. We're made right by the blood of the Lord Jesus. That's how we're made right. We can't make ourselves right. He clears the bad record. That's what he does. He cancels all the debt of sin. The handwriting that was against us is wiped away. And then he writes his laws upon our hearts. And then we serve him with a glad heart. Oh, there was mourning when people came in, but there was joy soon after. And that's how it is. It's how it always is when sinners come to Christ. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Oh, as they came to David, I wonder I wonder what he declared to them. He knew many gospel truths, because he knew so much, didn't he? Read the Psalms. I wonder what he declared to them. This Lord Jesus, we can declare to you tonight, the one who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest." Seek him. Ask God for grace so that you may come as you ought. The Lord Jesus has said, "I am come that they might have life, and they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He gave his life so that we may rest in him, that he might take us to heaven. May the Lord give comfort tonight to those who are his. May the Lord unrest those who sleep in their sin and bring them savingly to Christ by his grace. Amen. Father, we do thank thee for this day that we've been able to enjoy in thy courts and with thy people. We pray that thou would go with us and thou would bless us. Thou might grant that precious gift of faith. Thou might cause hearts to truly repent and to seek thee and to find refuge in the great rock. Oh Lord, bless us this evening. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen.